Blog Talk Radio.
Shamrock.
Okay.
I'll hang on to something else.
we'll have to play for your redemption. Anyway, this is the real St. Patrick's Day, and our guest is Patrick Butler, a real journalist from Chicago, Cook County, and who is a professional Irish propagandist. He makes more excuses for that race than any Irishman I know and don't want to know.
Actually, some races need make no excuses, because there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who were blessed with being born Irish, and those who wish they were.
And those who wish they weren't. Excuse me. Well, Patrick, was there a parade today in Chicago?
That was over the weekend. We do our parades over the weekend so that more people can participate. We also had that same weekend the Southside Irish Parade and the Northwest Side Irish Parade.
Well, you guys want to take over the whole city. Don't you know there are ethnics there who are not Irish, who don't like the Irish?
Well, yeah, but they tend to fade into the woodwork when we are out.
Okay. Out in more ways than one. Patrick,
no, that's only in California.
All right, I'll retreat on that one. Well, actually, they come from other places like New York, Boston, so a few from Illinois, but mostly, New York and New Jersey.
It's my understanding they come wherever they can.
We'll say no more along that line. Patrick, what is it about the Irish? I think of any ethnic group, in as long as I've lived, has made more contributions and involved in many controversies and, I will add, political corruption. What's your comment on that?
Well, I don't think political corruption is unique to us. I think that any time you have money and the opportunity to get it, you're going to find people who want to take a shortcut. And and then, of course, there are varying definitions of what constitutes political corruption. For some, it would be the cost of doing business, and for others, it would be some sort of a moral failing. Not being a member of the cloth, I don't judge people on their moral failings. And as a matter of fact, I may even have a few myself.
Well, since you mentioned the cloth, why is it that it seems that statistically that most of in the Roman Catholic Church the pedophile scandals involve priests, bishops, even of some nuns, brothers, and cardinals involving pedophilia or the cover up of pedophilia? Can you explain that?
Well, can I explain that they try to cover it up?
Well, and also...
Well, it's not the sort of thing you want to brag about. It's not the sort of thing you brag about.
Well, I
and,
know what... go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead.
No,
you started
well,
to say when.
Well, the cover-up is when there's these accusations, like in that movie that just came out.
Spotlight.
Spotlight, mm-hmm. Which
yeah.
I think... ought to be spotlighted on some of the other clergy and other religions who are just as bad, in fact, even worse.
Oh, definitely. If we were not on the air, I could tell you all kinds of stories about, you know.
We know about black masses and all that other sort of thing. And
well,
No.
I mean, I could tell you, you know, there are other groups, denominations that have their shortcomings too. So, you know, it's just a case of where, look, the Catholic Church is big. It's big. It's very organized. It's very visible. And, it has probably more opportunities for both good and mischief, depending on who is doing it. You know, because remember, in the United States and most other Western countries, most of the hospitals for many, many centuries were run by the Catholic Church because they were big enough and organized enough, they were able to do it. The other denominations may have wanted to do that level of good, but that's the sort of thing that requires... It's almost like an army. If you're going to be a serious army, you have to be fairly large, and you have to have, you know, money and organization behind it. Otherwise, you're going to fail. You know, same thing
now,
here.
Since you mentioned army, let's go on to military. What is it about the Irish and their joining in the militaries all around the world, even in Russia, South America?
Right.
Some of them are... what we call freebooters or buccaneers. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, many of the lads were driven from their country after failed revolutions and after famines, and they had to go somewhere where they could make a living. Now, the fact of the matter is that the Irish historically have been very good soldiers, particularly officers. Irish don't like to be privates for very long.
they crawl too much.
No, seriously, it's an ambitious group of people, but it's a very talented group. And remember, a lot of Irish officer types, when the revolutions failed in Ireland, they went over to France and served in the armies of the King of France.
Mm-hmm.
They went
Wild
over
geese.
To the... Right, exactly. They went over... They even served in the Turkish armies. And they went over to Germany. In fact, there was a German general in World War II, the equivalent of a one-star general. I mean, he was not field marshal level.
Mm-hmm.
But his name was Von... Butler, and that obviously came from the Norman Irish butlers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, how did the name butler end up being a servant in the household?
Well, I'm not sure. See, originally it was a Norman name, Le Butlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one who made or had charge of bottles. Now, what happened was that became the name for the people who kept the liquor cabinets in the houses and that sort of thing, but also the guy who was in charge of taxation of liquors in places like Ireland, England, whatever. And the name kind of stuck. But originally it was a Norman French name for simply one who had charge of the bottles.
Go ahead.
You could say that that's probably still true today with some people who bear that name. go ahead.
Now, some people think that the Irish, the charge of the bottles, and they empty them, that the Irish are boozers and brawlers. Would you comment on that?
Well, I will tell you this much. Sure, that happens. However, if you want to talk about real boozers or brawlers, I suggest you go into the Polish neighborhoods in Chicago and go into a Polish bar where I was told when I first moved into the Polish neighborhood that I lived in for at least 10 years, a friend of mine was an alderman, and his name was Wojciech, and Polish. And one of the first pieces of advice he gave me, he said, "I know you do well in Appalachian bars and in pubs. Do not go into the Polish bars. They will kill you and not remember the reason why they did it."
Is that were they sober or what?
Well, the fact of the matter is they're heavy drinkers. And you give them too much vodka, and remember, the Poles love their vodka just as much as the Russians do.
Oh, yeah, there is Polish vodka. Very good stuff, I might add.
In fact, I understand the Polish vodka is as good, if not better, than the Russian vodka.
And it's made from potatoes.
Exactly. I'm no expert on the quality of vodka because one of the few times that I had vodka, in fact, the first time I had vodka, you will recall, was over at your place. At one of your parties. And I and a couple other people who had seen the movie War and Peace decided we could probably live up to that too. And I started drinking what tasted to me just like water. Well, about a half hour later, I found that it was not water. And I was sitting in a corner up against a wall, and someone came up, and this was the first time I ever really got drunk. I was sitting in a corner up against a wall, and a friend of mine came by, and I am told that I had told him, "Mike, lay me down and save the flag." And then about sometime later, one of the girls there came up to me and asked if I wanted some coffee or something. And I said to her, "Kathleen, I only wish we had gotten to know one another better. As it is, I probably won't see the morning. However..."
You wanted something else. We know you, Patrick.
I was in no position to.
Yes, and that's something to be said about the Irish. Why is
wait
it
a minute.
That in Ireland that the women and children used to go to church and the males went to the bars or the pubs? Can you explain that, or has that changed? You were over there.
Yes, I was. Well, a division of labor.
They weren't praying in the bars. Or the pubs.
No, a division of labor. The women's job was to go to church and pray for our souls. And when necessary, pray for the victory of our arms against our enemies and God's enemies. And
yes, I remember some of those sermons. Oh, yes. Well, I must say, for an Irish priest, I remember the great, he wasn't sainted, but he was my favorite priest at the ranch, Father Francis Anthony Garrity, Fag for short, until we learned what that meant. Remember we used to call him that, Father Fag.
Yeah, but Father Fag, learned,
Just like gay, he's a gay guy, and we learned you can't use that anymore. But anyway, he gave the best sermon ever, and he was, in fact, he had to rush to the airport once, and he did the mass in about 7 minutes. Usually people like help and did it in over half an hour. But anyway, he had to give a sermon, and he did a dramatic come to the gate. I've forgotten what it's been so long time since I had communion. That he stood there and did the dramatic pause and said, "Love," and then turned around, went back to the altar, and finished the mass. I'll never forget that sermon. One word, very powerful.
Oh yeah,
I still remember. There's something to be said to being succinct.
that's true. And then on the other hand, you remember Father Nolan's sermons.
Oh, God. A very frustrated priest. The only guy I saw who would turn red when he went into a boys' locker room.
you know that he reportedly married a nun.
That's what I said. And I never forgive him for giving me 20 lashes for asking him if he had a girlfriend when he was going to the seminary. I got 20 of the best that he enjoyed.
Well, the fact of the matter is there are some, if you would ask that question, you'd have had to ask if they had a boyfriend. But that's
true. Yes, and they were probably Irish. By the way.
Wait a minute. We do not have a monopoly on being deviates. Other groups. I suggest you watch the Borgias.
Oh yes, well yeah. Well yes, that's right. They were Spanish and Italian and all that. Well, this is interesting. This is not an aside, but it's very accurate. This whole gay marriage thing started out here in California by two Irishmen, or Irish ethnic, Gavin Newsom, whose father I did a project for. He was a judge. Told me that I said, "What part of Ireland are your ancestors?" And he said, "From the north." And I said, "How did you become Catholic?" And then the other one is Jerry Brown, who the Jesuits had, and of course, he was going with Linda Ronstadt, and she dumped him in Africa reportedly because of a relationship that is still controversial to this day. But anyway, they both were pushing gay marriage. Newsom started it in San Francisco, and Jerry Brown approved, I think he signed the documents. We've had three Catholic governors, actually, I think four. Jerry Brown, his father, what's his name, Gray Davis, who was a JAG, and not a JAG, but he was in the U.S. Army in Vietnam. from New York, and Schwarzenegger, who his father, incidentally, I meant to bring this up, Schwarzenegger's father, Arnold Schwarzenegger's father, was a Nazi official in Austria. A lot of people don't know
Was he a Nazi official, or was he simply a member of the Austrian government at the time that the Nazis were in that country?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I'll look it up again. He may have been in the Wehrmacht or something, but he was.
Not everybody in the Wehrmacht, in the Wehrmacht was a Nazi.
I know
officers, German officers who were, you know, they're dead now, but they were living at that time. They never joined the party.
Oh, yeah, no, the real Nazis were SS and those special units that did the extermination. The concentration camp guards and all of that. Oh, getting back to the pubs, what is it about, I can't drink the stuff, what is it about stout?
Stout is the kind of beer or ale that will give you backbone, will put hair on your chest.
I think I'll think about some people.
No, I mean it's there are some stouts that are quite good. There are other stouts that, you know, I wouldn't piss in. But it doesn't add to the flavor.
Well, we heard a scandal go ahead.
But stout is actually they call it in some places they call it liquid bread because it's actually fairly nourishing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does have nutrients in it.
Oh, right.
Now, you don't want to make that a substitute for a good, well-balanced meal. Mm-hmm. But it's not like the swill that you get that passes itself, you know, off as a Belgian lager or something like that.
No.
Which looks more like nicely packaged pee-pee.
Well, in the sense that big Belgian company took over Budweiser, they're calling it Clydesdale pee.
There you go.
I did interview the Clydesdales with the guy that handled them when they were out here years ago, and I did ask him if he fed any of the and we had the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and I asked him, do you feed them what's that beer, Bordeaux or Labatt's, and he said one older horse gets it. I understand that some of the barley is given to the horses. That's what I was told. So, incidentally, since we're talking about food, did you know the food inventor of self-rising flour was a Presbyterian minister named Sylvester Graham? And I think Graham crackers has an origin to it's made with flour.
That would make sense.
He was a Protestant minister, and he believed that people should be chaste and not eat meat. So I said, some Irish wife said, I guess so you'll have to eat lamb. But interesting guy. I didn't know that about, we joke about the Irish cuisine and English cuisine, the lack of variety,
Although they actually have depending on where you go, they actually have pretty good food over there. Mm-hmm. They really
like
do.
Like what?
Okay. Bangers and mash. Stew.
Irish stew, which is lamb.
Which is good. There's nothing wrong with lamb. It's good. You got something against sheep? No.
Yeah.
God knows there were enough guys at Maryville that had plenty against.
so did other people who were out there, and lonely farm boys, but we'll say no more on that.
I know. Well, that was a bad thing to do.
Well, I will say this, Patrick. We're seeing in a lot of the stores, Trader Joe's, even Costco, they started it. Irish butter and Irish cheese is very good, Dublinger.
Right.
In fact, there's an outfit in Illinois that's counterfeited the butter. It's not as good. They claim they call it Irish style, and it's bland. It tastes like that butter that came out of Dean's Milk and Land of 10,000 Lakes, Land of Lakes, what I call tinted lard.
Exactly.
Terrible stuff. But the butter's delicious. I got to hand it to the Irish on that one. It's gone over.
Well, you know what they put in that? You know what they put in that butter?
What?
Now I'll talk to you when you're off the air.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you.
Are we live now, or is this going to?
I think we are very live. We've got 7 minutes to go. Well, when I flew back from Schiphol, when I did my grand tour of Europe. I had been to Austria, and they told me, we've got to check your passport out. You look like a terrorist.
They really?
I said, yes, this is the Austrians. And I said, I was about to say, you guys embraced Hitler first, but I kept my mouth shut.
Well, he was one of them. I mean,
of course,
he was
a failed artist.
I mean, actually, he was an illegal immigrant.
Oh, yeah, and he got German citizenship. And then, talk about immigration laws. I think it's really funny when you think about it. And then this racist business. Oh, we know the story. But, by the way, what is the relationship? Why didn't the Nazis, in fact, in both wars, didn't the Germans actively try to encourage the Irish to rise up against England?
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, during World War I, they supplied guns to the various rebel organizations.
Ah, okay.
And then, during World War I, there were, before the United States entered the war, there was a lot of support for the Germans in the Irish community.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
Largely because of the fact that the Irish had made it rather clear to the rebel leaders that if they won their next uprising and Germany won the war, they would make sure that a part of the peace treaty called for Irish independence.
Ah, just like they pulled that stunt of the Zimmerman telegram.
Exactly.
In Mexico, get back what wasn't.
And I can. My father used to sing a song he learned as a little kid, and growing up around the time of the end of WW1. And it went like, oh, Germany, why don't you set poor Ireland free? And, you know, yeah, seriously. I mean, we heard it around the house all the time. And the fact of the matter is that if you look at the German or the Irish Army uniforms right after independence in the early 1920s, you will find they wear the coal scuttle helmets.
Oh, right.
And their
right.
uniforms are very similar to what the Germans used in World War One.
Oh, right, right.
Very
yeah.
similar, except
well,
for the
we,
fact
we,
that the insignia are changed.
Yeah, but not the mentality. Paddy, what is it about Irish who go into politics? Do they have? Do all of them think they kiss the Blarney Stone, or what? Is
well, as a matter of fact, I don't know what's kissing the Blarney Stone simply means that you have a gift of eloquence, and you know, many people do. In fact, when I true story, when I was over in Ireland, it was a cold, rainy, slippery day, and I was on this tour group, and we were stopping at Blarney Castle. And I wanted to kiss the Blarney Stone, except that we were advised not to do it that day because it was very slippery and potentially dangerous. Mm. And the tour guide, Maeve was her name, she said, oh, Pat, you're one of the few people in this bus that doesn't need to do that.
By the way, since you were over there, Patrick, is there a desire among this generation of Irish natives for a total reunion that Northern Ireland will become part of the Republic and it'll be one country? What's your take?
Less so than there was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it is a part of the Irish Constitution that sets that as a goal. But, you know, really what the feeling is that is going to occur gradually anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And because the British will eventually
go ahead
pull out of the North,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it becomes too expensive. Because they're not gaining anything.
Right.
The reason they're still there is because they feel an obligation to protect the Protestants who are still living in the North.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that, you know, that were brought there by the British in the first place.
Right.
But when I was in Ireland, I went to a Sinn Féin meeting, a rally, and most of the people there were people my age or a few years younger, but not too many, what do they call them, millennials. So, you know, that was the only place I had any contact with millennials over there was when I went to a gentleman's club. You know, our hostesses were, for the most part, millennials. You have those in San Francisco too, I think.
Hostesses. Of both genders.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been in the others, but you know.
no Cleveland house.
In fact, I was waiting for you on Market Street, right in front of that big drugstore.
Right.
I think the second to the last time I saw you there. And I'm waiting, and a woman comes up to me, who incidentally was from the old country, and she asked if I was lost. And I says, oh, I'm just waiting for someone. And she says, strange, you don't look like the sort of guy who has to pay for it.
Well, yes, they do. We do have that type, but you got to be careful because there is the product is deceptive sometimes.
Ooh, I got a buzzer here that's trying,
okay.
Patrick,
trying
to good
call talking to you, Aaron Gobra.
And same to you. Okay,
okay.
Bye.
We're going to end. We're going to end with an Irish song. Well, where is it? Well, that was, I think, Sir Paul McCartney, who I guess is Irish, from the there were two Beatles left. I thought that was rather appropriate. And we'll be back. We might do another show tomorrow. So to all you Irish and those who want to be Irish or those who have Irish blood that you don't want to admit to or don't even know you have, Aaron Gobra and St. Patrick will pray for you. Good night. Stay safe. Don't drink too much.